Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Warm outside. It's warm across all of Wisconsin. And I tell you what, I think a lot of people's attention turns to beer when we get temperatures like this. Summertime and beer seem to go together here in Wisconsin. And we're going to talk about summer craft beers with you today. Craft beers with a couple of guests. Dan Detmers, back once again, process design engineer for Gorse Valley Hops in the town of Barrie. Are you in the
town of Barrie, out there by Mazamani.
Mazamani, thanks for coming by, Dan. Bill Rogers, veteran home brewer and active member of the Madison Home Brewers and Tasters Guilds. He owns the Malt House bar in Madison. And Bill, it's great to have you back as well.
Good morning, Larry. It's great to be back.
You brought along, and I tell you what, we're going to talk about beers, different kinds of craft beers, what the craft beer industry is like. Well, we're going to talk about food and beer and how to pair different kinds of foods. If you have some suggestions, maybe you've got a suggestion about a craft beer that you'd like to pair with a particular food, we'd love to hear from you. Have a question about the craft brewing industry, I hope you'll join in. Maybe you have a question about home brewing as well. We can deal with that too. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go to our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. So what makes a craft beer? What's a craft beer? You know, there might be people out there, Bill, who say, what the heck's a craft beer?
Well, craft beer is a beer made in well, in small scales, typically measured in 3 to 15 barrel batches, very often in very small breweries. Many of them started off as just garage breweries. Mm-hmm. Some are still garage breweries that have the garage has just been added to
Gotten bigger.
Just like over at Lake Louis and Arena. It's still part of the original garage is the brew house.
You can still find the original garage within the remains of the brewery.
So, and we have, Dan, how many roughly here in Wisconsin?
About 70 to 75, adding more, subtracting a few every day.
Yeah, there's a couple more supposed to come online this summer, so that's always exciting.
And is it the full range of beers? Maybe we should just talk about those types of beers. What's the range here of from the lightest to the darkest? And we have I should take a photo of this and put it up on our Facebook page. I have maybe 10 different beers in front of me right now. Most of them capped, one open right now. About the range?
Yeah, I don't know if we'll be able to get to all of these today, but we can certainly try.
We'll give it a shot. If you all don't call in, we'll be drinking all hour.
So craft brewers in Wisconsin make such a wide variety of beers, anywhere from your very light lagers, sometimes called your lawnmower beers, because mm-hmm. They're just right after you finish cutting the grass.
Very thirst-quenching, very light, refreshing.
All the way to an Imperial Stout, which is big, thick, chewy, heavy beer with like chocolate and coffee notes and maybe some plum notes.
The type of beer where you can put a spoon in it and the spoon does not fall over.
Those are more wintertime beers, though, aren't they?
Yes, they are. And we're definitely in the summer season here. I know you have a lot of pull with the weather, guys, Larry, but you really didn't have to make it this warm for this show.
Actually, when it gets a certain temperature, I think there's a point. I remember talking to some state fair officials who said once the temperature reaches a certain point, beer sales go down at the state fair and other things go up.
I believe there's an optimum
temperature.
I believe that. I know just watching at the Great Taste of the Midwest, the hotter it is, the less trouble we have with the porta potties overflowing.
Yes.
Everybody just sweats out the beer.
We'll take some calls here in a second, but just to, you mentioned the Great Taste of the Midwest. Tell our listeners about it. That is now all sold out. There's no way to get to.
No, there's always a few people that have extra tickets at the gate.
So you can,
somebody couldn't come last minute or something like that. But it's always the second Saturday in August. We sell 6,000 tickets. It sells out in about an hour. So we're only about a month away from it now. We're in hardcore putting all the plans together mode, and it's going to be exciting. We've got
this is the 25th anniversary, correct?
This is the 25th Great Taste. We've been going for a quarter century now.
A lot of beer and brewers from a lot from Wisconsin, but from across the Midwest.
Yeah, and just the Midwest. We've had lots of East Coast breweries, West Coast breweries want in, but our goal is to focus on the beers of the Midwest. Mm-hmm. Basically, the breweries that you can drive to from Madison in about an 8-hour time period.
Okay. Well, we've got some callers online with questions. Here's LaVon in Madison. LaVon, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hello. I thought I'd call in to make sure that you guys didn't drink all the beer.
Yes, dear. For all the callers out there, this is my wife.
And I was just calling in because I thought you guys should mention how well Lake Louise Scotch Ale goes with pecan pie, and that everybody who likes Scotch Ale and pecan pie has to try that.
Thanks, LaVon. Lake Louise Scotch Ale and pie.
She's pointing out certain beers do bring out certain characteristics in foods, and we can certainly talk about that. Much like wine brings out certain characteristics of cheeses, beers also accent various cheeses, various foods, and, as you heard, my wife's very favorite combination is the Lake Louise Scotch Ale, which isn't her favorite beer alone, but when paired with a pecan pie, it's incredible.
Makes the pie better and the beer better?
Both. It's amazing.
Thanks, LaVon. Thanks for calling. Appreciate your call. Michael in Edgerton, let's go to you. Hi, Michael.
Hi. I think your wife just answered my question, but... how do you make a nice, smooth Guinness-like stout that you actually drink yourself sober and you don't have this big hangover? How is that done?
Well, first, you don't drink too much of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's, you know, sometimes we lose control.
Okay, so a smooth stout. How do you make a smooth stout? Bill, you've made them, haven't you?
Well, first off, a Guinness draft stout is only about 3.8% alcohol, so mm-hmm. you don't put a lot of fermentable malts in your beer. You might want to add some oatmeal. That'll give it a nice creaminess. That's typically not done in Guinness, but I've used it in my home brews, and it just makes a nice silky texture. Lots of roasted barley.
Yeah.
Not roasted malted barley, but just roasted unmalted barley will give you that nice Guinness flavor.
Without providing the fermentable sugars for you.
Yep.
And
it provides a lot of protein also, which makes it that nice clingy head.
Yeah, well wouldn't the sprouted barley give you, isn't it more nutritious once it's sprouted?
Well, the sprouting is the malting process, and during the malting process, that's when the barley becomes in a form where you can actually pull the sugars out, the fermentable sugars out of there. So what Bill's saying is if you want the flavor but without the high alcohol, using the unmalted barley will give you that flavor without the sugars, which the yeast uses to create the alcohol.
Yeah. Oh, and I'd like to make one point. That's, you know, when it's real hot outside and you drink something lukewarm, you actually cool off because your body says, ooh, I'm too warm, and it cools itself off.
I think we might take some of these beers outside and experiment with that after the show.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling, Michael. Talking craft beers today with Dan Detmers and Bill Rogers. If you'd like to join in with a question or comment, maybe you've got a favorite summertime brew, home brew or craft beer that you enjoy, give us a call. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. You opened a can of a very light beer, Bill, and it tastes, I took a little sip here, it tastes pretty good.
Yeah, this is Brew Farm Select from Dave's Brew Farm up in Wilson, Wisconsin. It's a small little
craft brewery,
wind-powered, solar-powered. They are net contributors to the electrical grid up there. And they've made a very nice light lager. He actually travels to Stevens Point to brew this beer. But it's a great light lager. It's a perfect lawnmower beer. You get done cutting the grass and pop one of these open. And
yep. This one's about 5.5%, so it's a little bit more than the Guinness previously mentioned. So a little bit above a typical session beer, meaning you don't want to drink a whole case of this. But it is very light and refreshing.
Well, I certainly like it. So that's one. And then you have some, actually most of the beers you have are from Wisconsin, but there are some that aren't. Great Lakes Brewery is an example.
Yeah, we've got a couple of Great Lakes
of a summer
beers.
Beer here, maybe.
We've got their Dortmunder Gold, which is a nice, again, lighter lager style. It's got a little more hop in it than the Brew Farm Select. We've also got their Holy Moses White Ale. Now, white ales are... they're modeled after the Belgian wit style. Mm-hmm. It's a light wheat beer, usually with coriander and some orange peel, which just makes it a great, refreshing summer beer.
A lot of the summer beers are fruitier, aren't they?
Typically lighter, typically fruitier. So they're your light lagers, such as the Brew Farm that we just tried. They'll be your wheat beers, your Hefeweizens, your things like Spotted Cow, one of the more mm-hmm. popular beers within the state. Because when it is hot out, you're looking for that light, refreshing flavor.
Quentin in Madison has a question for you guys or comment. Hi, Quentin. Thanks for calling.
Hi. How you doing?
Good.
I'm calling actually with a question. I'm a little bit behind on the news on this, but I'd heard that there was a Miller Coors-sponsored provision in the budget that makes it harder for microbrews to get started, and I'm not sure what the status of that is, and I'm wondering what you guys think the effect of that provision will be on microbrewing in general.
Well, the status is it's law.
Yep. It was part of the budget bill that was signed, so it's been passed into law.
It's law. Great.
So neither of us really are experts on this motion 414, as they call it.
Right. Neither of us are lawyers, politicians, or just generally that smart of guys.
Or neither of us also have brewer's licenses. So but there are a couple resources that have some pretty good information out on the internet. MadisonBeerReview.com, I think, did a good synopsis of some of the implications of the bill. What upset a lot of us and craft beer fans was that there are 72 breweries in the state, and only one had a say in what went into this bill.
The previously mentioned one that you did call it.
Although they're not actually based in Wisconsin anymore anyway.
That is correct. They are based in Chicago.
Yeah, their American offices are in Chicago, but of course it's they're owned by Sab Miller, which is in London, England.
Yep. All right.
So yeah, the ramifications that are yet to come, I mean, the brewers that we work with at Gorse Valley are still reading into it and trying to figure out what it means to them. Some of them are grandfathered into clauses where they can still keep their wholesaler license, though it's not clear for how long. Okay. What is clear, it'll be very hard for people starting up a new brewery to also get such licenses. And Wisconsin isn't alone. Other states are being challenged with other strange laws on the books as well, such as Massachusetts and New York.
All right. Thank you.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Dan Detmers, process design engineer for Gorse Valley Hops. Bill Rogers, veteran home brewer and active member of the Madison Home Brewers and Tasters Guild and owner of the Malt House in Madison. Our guest here as we talk summer craft beers. Larry Mueller here with Judith Sears Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You can join in with your questions about or comments about craft beers at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show and post a question or a comment there. And Bill, you poured another beer here from...
Well, this is from Sand Creek. This is their hard lemonade. So it's a beer base with lemon in it. You were talking earlier about how sometimes fruitier beers are more refreshing in the summertime. You know, we all grew up liking lemonade. This is a really nice craft brewed hard lemonade.
Very nice. Tim in Appleton, on to you now. Hi, Tim.
Good morning. I'm calling about a new beer that I have sampled. My son lives over in the Twin Cities, and he sampled a new Grain Belt brand. Now, I realize Grain Belt probably isn't a microbrew or a craft brew, but they came out with a new brand of beer called Nord East, N-O-R-D-E-A-S-T. And every time I drink it, I taste a different flavor in it. And it does have a lot of fruity flavor in it, and it's a delicious beer any time of the year. It's just something new that I think people should try.
Guys know anything about it?
Grain Belt was bought by the August Shell Brewery, correct?
I think they were, yeah.
I believe they bought the title, and August Shell would be considered a craft beer in my category.
Okay.
Definitely regional brewer or less.
So what kind of flavors are you picking up in that beer?
Well, I had one last night, and I actually tasted a little bit of grapefruit. Now, I doubt very much that there's grapefruit in it, but it every time you taste it, I taste something just a little bit different in it. It's a different beer. It's a lighter beer. It's a lager, but it's very, very good.
Is it usually different citrus flavors or something beyond that?
That seems to be what I'm getting out of it, is a little more fruity flavor, yes.
So that might be coming from the hops.
And that could be.
There's several variety hops out there, Cascade included among them, which is one of the most popular, which if we get to it, we've got a Hopalicious from Ale Asylum. I believe that's 100% Cascade, or very close.
Dean doesn't tell me his recipe.
Right. You can definitely taste Cascade. Very citrusy. There's also some varieties out there like Simcoe and Citra. That Citra is often described as grapefruity, and it might be just one hop pushing its way over the other because, you know, beers, their flavor does tend to change, especially the hop portion of it, because certain chemical reactions are happening to those hop compounds in the beer as they age. So you might be picking up different flavors, or it might be just based on what you're eating or ate last.
Ah, interesting. And what's the name of that again? Somebody's going to say, what was that again?
It's called Nord East, N-O-R-D-E-A-S-T.
All right. Thanks.
Yeah, the old connotations that we all think of from Grain Belt, it's a much better beer these days than when we were all kids.
Can you speak, Patrick wonders if you could speak of gluten-free craft beers. Are there some out there?
There are
Bill?
A few. There's a couple imports from Belgium, I think. Peter's Beers or St. Peter's. One that we sell at the malt house quite a bit is the Lakefront New Grist. It's a sorghum-based beer. There's not a whole lot yet in the market. It's a growing market, though.
Definitely.
I think lots of brewers are recognizing that
there's a niche
for it. We do carry a lot of ciders and perries for people with gluten intolerance, and those are all fruit-based products, so naturally gluten-free.
There's those with gluten intolerance, and then there's a gluten-free diet, as I understand, out there. Mm-hmm. I haven't tried it yet.
No, and we probably won't.
No.
Oh, boy. Well, let's go to Trevor in Jefferson. On to you now. Hi, Trevor.
Hi there. I just had a quick question about home brewing with water quality. I've been using the tap water here in town, and I often get sort of a medicinal off taste. And then trying the water from that you'd go and get at any store and fill up your water jug, it just sort of has maybe more of a flat, bland flavor. I was looking to make a Kolsch coming up soon, and then I guess I was just wondering if maybe go to some kind of artesian well sort of water, or if the guests had any comments on that, and I can take my answer off air.
All right, thank you.
Sure. We've all had problems with our waters. We've got very, very hard water here in Madison, and as the caller mentioned, the water from the grocery store tastes very flat. It's
heavily filtered, usually.
It's heavily filtered. Sometimes, like, they put it through a seven-stage process to filter it out. What I ended up doing was taking half of my brewing water from the tap and half from the grocery store, mix them together. You get the essential minerals that you need from your tap water, plus you get the purity of the grocery store water, and a 5-gallon jug of each.
We'll do it.
We'll do it for a five.
That medicine-y flavor may be coming from the chlorine and fluorine added by most municipalities. If you let it sit for a while, some of that will off gas. Maybe that affects it. There's a number of... I'm trying to think. Charles Bamford has out a book, I believe, that goes through water chemistry for brewing pretty extensively. A lot of brewing is an art. That's definitely a science.
So that chlorine can also be, you can kind of boil that off too if you use a really vigorous boil.
Mm-hmm.
If you're stovetop brewing, that may not be possible. You may need one of those Cajun cookers, you know, the turkey fryer.
The turkey fryer.
Burgers, yeah.
We have an email from Lori in Black River Falls who says, my favorite summer brew is Sand Creek Hard Lemonade brewed in Black River Falls. Refreshing, and love to mix it with Sand Creek Cranberry.
Well, we've got one open right now.
Yeah.
And so I agree.
A cran lemon sort of flavor? Sure.
It's excellent.
And actually, we just opened a cran apple cider from Apple True Winery in Burlington, Wisconsin. And
it is delicious.
All right, I volunteer. I'm pouring some of my Sand Creek lemonade into the cran apple. And yep, you're right, Lori. That is a really good, refreshing flavor.
Very good. Very refreshing. And we have an email from Russell in Fond du Lac. He says, great topic today. I do have somewhat unique recommendations, two of them. A porter, preferably one with a bold roast character, with a smoked blue cheese.
Oh,
incredible.
Sure.
That sounds wonderful. And a scoop or two of coffee-flavored ice cream with a young double chocolate stout. My favorite kind of float. So it's a beer float, not a root beer float. It's a beer float, but a double chocolate stout with some coffee-flavored ice cream.
That Young's double chocolate stout, I've actually used that in both tiramisu recipes and chocolate cake recipes. My wife, who called in earlier, uses that in a chocolate cake recipe that's just incredible. It's a very, very thick, rich beer with the coffee and chocolate flavors definitely come out. Now, what was the first one? A porter with a smoked blue cheese. Sure. Any of the smoked cheeses, that part will really be accented by the heavy flavor from the beer.
Absolutely. Christy in Winona, Minnesota. Thanks for waiting. Hello.
Hi. I have a question about, are there any NAs, microbrews?
Boy.
I'm drawing a blank. The ones that we carry at our bar are all European.
Can I ask then what one you like best if you drink them?
We actually did a tasting panel with our staff. We gathered up all the NAs that we could find. And the Guinness Caliber was the one that we found tasted most like beer.
Oh, okay. Great. And why would that be? What's the chemistry behind that?
Well, there's a couple ways of making NA beers. One of them is just mix the ingredients together and don't ferment it.
Mm-hmm.
The other is to use some kind of industrial process to strip out the alcohol. Neither of them... Well, the stuff that you don't boil and add yeast to, it just doesn't have that fermented beer flavor.
Yeah, a little sweeter.
It's more like malt syrup.
Right.
All right. Okay, great. Right. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks very much for calling. As you listened in, you may have heard a cork pop. And there's a beer that has a cap but a cork connected with it as well. And, Bill, you want to tell us about that one?
Sure. This is Lindeman's Framboise Lambique. It is a Belgian ale. So it's at its base, it's a sour wheat ale. Lemonade is sour. It's very refreshing. So, you know, it starts off with a very refreshing base. And then they just add pounds and pounds and pounds of raspberries to the wooden casks that they ferment these in and age it over the course of... 18 months to 3 years, and you get just this really rich, fabulous raspberry flavor.
The raspberry is very
and the
very
aroma
strong.
Is yeah. delicious aroma to it as well.
So, and this would go great with any kind of cheese and fruit plates.
Yes. Right. Oh, absolutely. We should have. I should have scheduled a cheese program to go along with this.
Well, the beer was still here.
Scott and Eau Claire, we're on to you now. Hi, Scott. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
I wanted to mention a new brewery that's up here in the Eau Claire area. It's called Lazy Monk. And it was started by my neighbor, actually, who was a home brewer, kind of the garage brewer like you've been talking about. And he decided to go for his dream and just started a brewery, and it just came out in May. Speaking of great summer beers, he makes his flagship is a Czech Pilsner, and it's smooth and refreshing with great flavor, though, just a true old-fashioned European Pilsner. And he makes a Czech dark lager, too, that has a great roast character but not too overpowering. And the great thing, though, that I see is all the tremendous local support that he's gotten. And he kind of went into it not really knowing what to expect. And he's had to increase his capacity at least double since May, which is a great sign. So if anybody's in the Eau Claire area, keep an eye out for Lazy Monk. I'll take any comments off the air.
Well, wait. Well, before you go away, now I need to know, how is it being distributed? Is this by bottles, or does he have a brew pub, or how do I get a hold of it?
Yeah, he started out just in the taverns with barrels, and he's recently gone to returnable growlers.
Okay. Picked up from the brewery?
You can get them at the brewery. You can also get them... there's a local food co-op and a couple of the grocery stores you can get them at.
Cool.
Well, that's exciting news. There's not many startups that are doing lager beers because they take so much longer than ales to ferment and to complete. Mm-hmm. And so it's exciting that there's a new a new lager option there.
And there's not a lot of options for Czech Pilsner in the state. There was Potosi.
Yeah, Potosi brewed a Czech Pilsner earlier in the year. It was a seasonal for them. It sold faster than almost any beer in the summer at our bar, but it's now gone.
Yeah,
next year.
But the Czech Pilsner is a very refreshing style, and it's just fabulous in the summer.
And Jed says the best, he loves Oso's Hopdinger from Plover.
Oh, sure. Most of the beer that Oso makes, they're expanding quite quickly. I understand they just moved in a new space, and they love the hops in their beers. Lupulus Maximus, Hopdinger, they're both very, very, very big beers.
And Steve wonders, how do you define a red beer? What's the definition of a red beer?
Well, red beers they're kind of an amber-colored. You get that from putting... slightly more roasted malt into the beer, like a crystal malt or a caramel malt, will give you kind of a reddish hue to the liquid.
So it just has to be, it's just in the color.
It's just in the color. It doesn't really define a style at all.
And we have Lou in Milwaukee who says, I really like the North Coast Scrimshaw Pilsner. Are there any Wisconsin or regional Pilsners that are similar? I've tried the Lakefront Kilsch, but it didn't do that for me.
Hmm. I haven't tried North Coast.
It's been a couple of years since I had it. Capital's got a very nice Pilsner. It doesn't always get the widest distribution that I think it deserves. I think that's just it's a really nice, hoppy, bitter Pilsner. Along the lines of the Victory Prima Pils, which is also one of the very well-known American Pilsners.
Jude in Long Lake, on to you now. Hi, Jude.
Hi. I'm a beer drinker, but I can tell you I like Pilsners, but I don't know the difference between ales and lagers and Pilsners, and maybe you could tell us what that is.
Sure. The difference between what is an ale versus a Pilsner versus a lager.
And I'm going to hang up and listen.
Okay, thanks, Jude.
Okay, well, a Pilsner is a style of lager. Lager beers are fermented at cooler temperatures using a slightly different yeast than an ale. Ales are fermented typically about room temperature. lagers maybe in the 40s, maybe low 50s mm-hmm. for their primary fermentation. Ales use a yeast that sits on top of the fermenting liquid. Lagers use a yeast that sits on the bottom of the fermenting liquid, and they both get churned into the solution to do their work. Lagers, because they're fermented colder, take longer to complete the fermentation. And the yeast, because the yeast is working a little slower, they tend to kick off fewer other compounds, if you will, flavor compounds. So you get maybe a more pure malt flavor, more pure hop flavor, mm-hmm. whereas ale yeasts can contribute some fruitiness, some spiciness to the ales that makes them a little bolder, if you will.
And as Bill mentioned before, most craft brewers are doing ale simply because they're faster, quicker turnaround time, because when you're just getting a company started, you got to get the revenue going one way or the other. So they'll typically go with the ales, and at the higher temperature, they don't need to build the excessive amount of cooler space, which can get pretty expensive, which is why it was pretty exciting to hear the caller from Eau Claire talking about the new brewery doing lagers.
There we go. Let's turn to, Judas, by the way, says the apple cranberry hard cider is wonderfully tart and refreshing, and the lambic is so smooth and fruity, but not too sweet. Perfect for summer.
Excellent.
Thumbs up. Tom and Wazika, let's go to you. Hi, Tom.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. We've been speaking about the success of our local breweries, and I'm a local food producer in the southwest corner of the state. Whom do I speak with and whom do I connect with to provide to these growing businesses like in Eau Claire and again, points across the state, our local, my local soft red winter wheat and local red wheat, hard red spring wheat. I mean, the local grains, there are producers like me out here producing this. How do we make connections to these brewers so that we can continue, to build networks and provide local food for our local beer and, again, for our local economy here in Wisconsin?
All right. Tom's got I think it's a good question.
Tom, you do it one pitcher at a time. Mm. So at Gorse Valley Hops, obviously, we're trying to grow local, sustainably grown hops for use in local craft beers. And that's basically what we've had to do to build up our businesses, go from brewer to brewer. And I can't tell you how many times we've been told no, or I'll wait until somebody else tries it, and then I'll get back to you. You got to start with the guys who are brewing in your local area. Keep talking to them. Provide them samples. Look into where are they currently sourcing their grains and such from. Find out how they arrive packaged, what testing and analysis needs to be done on them before they're shipped out. It just takes one success, I guess, with one brewer when you start figuring out what it is you need to do.
Yeah, but over in there in Wazika, you're not that far from Potosi.
Yeah.
I might go talk to Steve Buska there and the brewmaster and see if he'd be interested in using some local grains. You may need to get them malted, and Breeze Malting in Chilton could probably handle that for you.
What's that malting process? What is basically what happens?
So for whether it's wheat or barley or whatever cereal grain, you're gonna kiln it, basically soak it, rehydrate the grain, because when the farmer picked it, he had to dry it down in order to keep it from rotting. And now you're gonna start the germination process. So you lay it out in a nice aerated bed, keep blowing water across it, keep it nice and moist for 3 to 7 days, depending upon what grain it is. Four days for most. And it's a process where it sprouts, and you keep breaking it up, and when it hits the perfect level where now simple sugars are available, you take it and kiln it, you bake it. And now, depending upon what you want to produce, you either do it for a short time or a long time. Short time, obviously, your lighter malts for your lighter beers, and all the way up to your coffees and chocolate flavors.
There you go. Thanks, Tom, for calling. And Bob in Minocqua, let's go to you. Hi, Bob. Bob, are you there? No, I must have lost Bob. Excuse me.
Well, I hope he's out getting a beer.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. Oh, hello.
Oh, wait. Hey, Bob.
There he is. Bob, are you there?
I pushed the wrong button. I wanted to get you off a speakerphone and put you on talk. And
oh, okay.
Push talk, which I don't know what I did. Anyway, a question and a comment. For comment first, we were waiting for a pizza place to open in La Crosse here, a couple of years ago now. And it was a little pub next door, and we went in there, and I had my first contorter porter. And I have, to me, that was the best beer I've ever eaten, had in my life. And are you still there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And I've had some, Ale Asylum makes it out of Madison, your hometown, and I've had some of their other beers, but the contorter porter is still my favorite. I mean, that stuff has body and taste that just never quit. And I'm wondering, there's another one I've had, which I call Muddy Brew, but I can't remember the exact name of it. But the question I have is, back when I was in college some 50, 60 years ago, there used to be a bar that served Glückstadt. And we used to call it the Green Death. And I'm wondering if there's anything out there comparable to that today.
Glückstadt.
Well, Brewing Company was a Minneapolis brewer for many, many years.
Yeah, we are all.
No, you got us stumped.
Yeah, we're all staring at each other.
Is it a stite refer to something specific?
How is it spelled?
S-T-I-T-E.
S-T-I-T-E. Stite.
Hmm. And it was potent. It was 13% alcohol.
Some sort of malt liquor.
Probably, yeah, I would think so. Country Club Ale was similar.
Hmm.
So, well, there's certainly plenty of high alcohol beers out there now. A lot of Doppelbocks, Triplebocks, you know, done as lagers, otherwise Imperial Stouts. If you like the porters, there's actually even Imperial Porters out there that are, you know, 10-12% alcohol.
And And I can also say on the Contorter Porter, you got Judith back here doing backflips, because that is her favorite beer as well.
There you go. Thanks for calling, Bob. And guys, thank you. The time flew by here. We've got, I should mention that Bill's place, the Malthouse in Madison, we put up a link on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show, so if you want to catch what the site looks like. And you've got a book coming out. We can talk about that at some point, too, the 25th anniversary book for The Great Taste in the Midwest.
Yep. We've been working hard all summer collecting old photos of, you know, a quarter century of Beer Fest photos. Lots of pictures of people drinking.
did I make it?
Yeah, you're in the book.
Hey, I guess I got to get a copy.
And I didn't even take the photo.
Guys, thank you so much. Appreciate it. We'll do it again. Thanks. Dan Detmers, process design engineer for Gorst Valley Hops in the town of Barrie near Mazamani. And Bill Rogers, veteran home brewer and a member of the Midwest Home Brewers and Tasters Guild. He owns the Malt House in Madison. We didn't get through all of the beers, and I'm sorry we didn't have a chance to discuss more of them. And sorry you didn't have a chance to taste some of them. We're switching gears coming up next year on the Ideas Network. Take a look at some river fun, highlights of the driftless region of the state. Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.